Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
I want to show you a picture, first of all, that I think kind of sums up. There's a guy, he's on a job site, and a nail gun goes off and shoots him in the head. They're going to show you this. He lived. He's fine. But that's the CAT scan, the x-ray of his head. How many of y'all hate it when that happens? Come on, somebody, right? It's like the guy was like, nailed it. Yeah. But when he went to the emergency room, when he told him he had a nail in his head, they couldn't see it on the outside. They had to take an x-ray to see what was on the inside, and there was a nail up in his head. So let's talk about the nail in our head a little bit, about maybe some of the ways we've been raised. You only know what you know. That's it. So my dad was a cop, right, not far at all from Earth City there in Woodson Terrace. My uncle was a cop there, and they had a sister named Ruth. So you got these three people. That was my aunt and uncle. And so we wouldn't see them a lot, but we would see them some, because they couldn't get along because they had a nail in their head of they didn't know how to communicate. So here I am, 4 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old, whatever. Me and my cousins, Tammy and Matt, we never really got to spend a lot of time together because the parents couldn't act like adults. They didn't know how to work through conflict. Behind every great relationship in this room today online is like, oh, I wish I had a marriage like that. It's right behind it is a lot of difficult conversations. Everybody you saw a minute ago that said, oh man, we're going to have a grandbaby and all that, a lot of difficult conversations. We still have difficult conversations. But you have to be able to have conflict and then conflict resolution. In other words, to build a bridge so everybody has understanding. And we all have limited understanding, especially if we have a bias in which we've been raised and the nail is in our head. So me and my cousins, we'd be down there playing Operation. Remember that game? You'd be like, eh, Operation. And then I hate to admit this, but if Matt wasn't there, Tammy would talk me into playing Barbies. And I played a lot of Barbies, and hence my fashion. Come on, somebody help me right now. I am in touch with my feminine side. So, but we would hear the escalation happening upstairs. Maybe they got into politics. I don't know what they were talking about, but it would go, and we'd be like, oh, man, dang it. Now we might not see each other for a couple of years because they didn't know how to communicate. I want us to learn as a church how to communicate, and there's two things that I really, really want to stress today. There is the world way of doing things and the Word's way of doing things. So the world is selling 24 hours a day racism, hatred, bitterness, fear, COVID-19's going to get you. How many of you are still alive? Raise your hand if you're still alive right now. Okay, and people at home, we're alive. So today I encourage you to go outside and open up the door and just look around and see it's okay. Maybe even watch the Disney movie and say, I want to be where the people are. I want to go to the gym once again. I want to eat some waffle fries tomorrow at Chick-fil-A. Okay? But if you're afraid, you're paralyzed. Fear, false evidence appearing real. Yeah, COVID's real, but it's no more real than, the swine flu that was going to get you, the Asian flu that was going to get you, the bird flu that was going to get you, Ebola was going to get you, Ebola was going to get you, Y2K was going to get you. If you were able to be gotten, you would have already been got, but no weapon formed against you will prosper. And if you did get the COVID, you would get over it. So live your life, okay? Enjoy your life. If you're going to die, die once. How many of y'all know you're going to die? Raise your hand if you know you're going to die. A lot of you didn't know that. Let's try it again. You're going to die. I mean, like me, and you don't want to know when you're going to die. I don't want you to tell me on the 13th of such and such, somebody's going to shoot you. Don't tell me, just shoot me, right? So don't live in fear, only die one time. But there's a spirit of fear and racism and terrorism, socialism, communism that's in the world, and it tries to get into the church, and our job is to get some understanding so we can communicate that we don't have to fight for our right. Yes, protest, but God is for you. And if He is for you, who and what can be against you? Socialism, terrorism, racism? No. Love, the Bible said, love never fails. God loves. Now I want to be clear. Protest all you want. I think it's good. I have. Pick it all you want. Talk about what's wrong. I'm not asking people to lay down like a rug, but I am saying walk in love, because love is the only way that we're going to win. And so you know, when you get to heaven, there's going to be black people there. And there's going to be white people there. There's going to be brown people there. There are going to be all people there. I heard a preacher today, and he's a good man, okay? He's a friend. Most preachers don't know what to do right now. And I'm fumbling my way through this, but the one thing I knew that I was going to do was to just communicate from my heart and continue to lead the church the way I built the church, which was this way. We do see color, but not in a discriminatory way. We see it in a beauty. So my friend today, he was reading. You could tell he's like, man, I can't screw this up. Oh, Jesus, he's scared. And he's reading the sermon. And he said, the God that I serve does not see color. And I'm like, eh, okay. We got the same God, bro, but you're trying to be kind. And howbeit you're kind, you look colorblind. God does see color. People of God should see color, but in the beauty of the rainbow, in the beauty of the diversification, God crafted you and created you to be who you are. So that's why last week I didn't play it safe. I spoke from my own stage, didn't have my black friend next to me to try to get through the sermon without saying anything. Hopefully I made it through. I spoke from start to finish to tell you, especially my black kids that I've raised, you can live where you want to live. You can drive where you want to drive. You're not less than. You're more than a conqueror through him that loved you. And you were called to this season to be an answer to the world who does not know what to do. But we are the church. We know what to do. What do? We love and we speak words of faith and we don't walk in fear thinking, I'm afraid my child's going to die. No, the Bible said that no plague had come nigh your dwelling. He said with long life he'd satisfy you and show you the salvation. Yes, there might be a weapon formed, but you say, I go to a church. I believe in God. I'm a tither. I'm blessed. I'm anointed, yet discriminated against. I trust you. Oh, I'm preaching good today. Now, nail the head. Conflict resolution. Discrimination. There's a guy by the name of David. You read your Bible. You all know the story. And so God speaks to Samuel because the people are crying, we need help. We need a king. We need a king. They're chanting this in Israel. Give us a king. God's like, I'm your king. We want a different king. So they get psycho Saul. Sometimes you may get what you want, but you might not want what you get. And this guy looked the part and he was awesome, but it was a mess. So now plan B comes in. We need a different king. So now Jesse comes to David's dad's house. Samuel does to Jesse. And so he says, hey, line up your boys. And so he lined them all up. Picture discrimination right here. He lines up every son, but the one that he didn't think fit the part. His own dad discriminated against him because it says that he was short, he was ruddy in complexion, he was red hair, he was freckles, he didn't meet the part. All his other sons looked the part. So he said, they look like politicians. So he picked them. And that's why David later says, God does not look at outward appearances because he had some stuff that he'd been discriminated against. But he said, God looks at the heart. So the dad, Jesse, lines all the boys up. Here's all of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He lines them all up. And the king, and the man of God said, he's not the king, 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 he's not the king. He said, you got any other boys? He's like, well, I got one, but I'm not too proud of him. I mean, he's definitely not the king. He's always on Pinterest looking at fashion, wearing skinny jeans. He's a little bit different. He's never hunted. He's not your boy. He said, go get him. So now let's just pause for a minute and feel the weight of this, our city. Dad calls him, and now he feels the discrimination beyond anything that you can imagine. He comes in, and he's like, yeah, Dad. Man, smells like Dakar. This is old Walmart stuff. It smells like Stetson. I smell Old Spice. He's smelling. All these boys smell great, and they look great. And he's like, what's going on here? And he goes, well, what happened was, they're looking for a king, and I forgot to invite you. I don't know how it slipped my mind. We don't know if he said that. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. Or did he just play along and say, here he is. But no matter what, you have to feel the weight of the hurt that David must have felt being discriminated against by his own dad. But I'm here to tell you, meanwhile, on the backside of the hill, while his dad was discriminating against him, his father saw him and his father said, I'm going to take that which was shame, they were ashamed of, and I'm going to take him from the background to the forefront in 1 minute of favor. So all the time he was writing songs, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High What next? Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at myself and realize there ain't nothing left. No, that's not right. He's writing this stuff. And while he's writing this stuff now, God says, there's a man after my own heart. I see him, and I see his frailties, and I see his difference and uniqueness, but he's important to me, and I'm going to use David to be the greatest king, not because he's going to do everything perfect, but his heart is right towards me. And I want everybody to understand today that it hurts to live in a world where you're discriminated against. Now, I'm white. But I'm not white first. I'm a Christian first, then I'm white. You might be black, but you're not black first. You're a Christian first, and then you're black. So if you're black, be proud. Not in pride, but proud. If you're white, be proud. If you're Asian, be proud. Now, why do we say Black Lives Matter? I want to cover this one more time this week. The reason why right now is we're saying Black Lives Matter. If there were four houses in a subdivision, and one was burning, and the other ones are not on fire, and the fire department came with all of its helpers, and it took care and extinguished the one that was on fire, does it mean the other houses don't matter? No, they're not on fire. If there are four little kids playing in a park and only one gets stung by a bee and the nurse comes and puts Neosporin and a Band-Aid on the one, does it mean that the other three don't matter? No, of course they matter. But this one is the one that got stung. So right now, as a church that is very diverse, we're dealing with the one that feels, and rightfully so in many cases, discriminated against, a race issue that's been going on a long time, but that's what will continue to be propagated out there. What needs to be in here, pray that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in heaven there is no racism, there is only one race, and it is the human race. Every little black girl, come on somebody in our city in Ferguson on us, amen. Every little white child, all God's children, hugging and loving. If you want to see what heaven looks like, go to our nursery today. Little black kids playing with little white kids, and nobody told them they were not supposed to get married together. Nobody told them that they were different. But is there a nail in your head? A bias. And I don't want anybody to feel bad. I just want us to learn and realize, man, could we do better? And the answer is always yes, we can do better. We can do better at loving. We can do better at seeing injustice and what's wrong and saying, hey, I want to do my part to make that right because there is a wound. A wound. I've preached so many times already, I hope I haven't told the story already. It's one of the fears of my life, is telling you the same story over and over, but I don't believe I've told you this yet. We were walking on the beach a couple weeks ago, me and Nicole, and it was right after I saw the murder of George Floyd. And I was inflamed about it. I'm a verbal processor, so I was letting Nicole, she was hearing about it, and we're just walking on the beach together. And then all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, I don't realize that I have stepped on a fish hook out of nowhere that has three razor's hooks, and it sinks into the depths of my foot. And instantly, the conversation about George was over, and it was all about me. I wanted to kind of play the video because I Instagrammed the whole thing, because I Instagrammed my whole life. And here I am. There's this fish hook all the way through my foot. Yeah, all the way through there. Okay, so now that's going on. People are coming up, videoing me, they're Instagramming. Look, my gosh, unbelievable. It's unreal. They take me to the hospital because they got to get this thing out because it is deep in there. So when I get to the hospital and they unload me, first of all, I'm in just shorts, sand everywhere, and no shirt. I'm freezing. I walk inside. I'm Instagramming. I'm having a good time. And then I said, hey, a few minutes later, can I get some pain medicine? And they said, we've got some people in here with some big problems. Well, to me, I had a big problem. But if I put myself in my right mind for a minute, I calmed right down because I realized, I bet you there's a guy over here, maybe I'm just guessing, maybe he got hit in a motorcycle accident. Maybe somebody over here is having a big, now I realize I got this fish hook and it's dangling. Every time it moves, nurses are walking by going, ooh! How many of y'all know that deserves at least an Advil? I wanted an epidural, but I take a Profen. So then they eventually tell me, after a long 2 hours of sitting in pain, they wand me with a wand to make sure I don't have any weapons because it's a bad neighborhood we were in. And I said, when you get down by my foot, it's going to go off, but it's not a weapon. So I'm feeling this, joking around with them, laughing. But then they gave me a Percocet. And then I was like, you know, just singing, you know, What the world needs now, love, sweet love. And they cut it out. And they got rid of it. But the wound was still there. So I still limped out. And I still limped for a couple days because the wound was there. So I want to talk to everyone for a moment who's been wounded. You've been wounded. You've been hurt. You've been talked about. You've been discriminated against. You're going to go around, and we have to understand that there might be a limp for a minute, and people might be sensitive to a minute, but we need to make sure that we're sensitive. The Bible said there's a time to weep, a time to cry, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to fight. There's a time for everything. And for real, in this house, I want to make sure that we understand as a church that we are sensitive to people that might be wounded. And this should go through our whole life when we see someone who have lost a loved one from natural causes. We should always hurt with those that hurt if we have a soft heart. And remember that Jesus, remember this, the wounds that he had on his hands and his feet, crown of thorns, he did all that. He was wounded so that we could be completely healed and whole. He went to hell so we could go to heaven. And he died and creating a heaven for us to go to, but he doesn't want this to be a hell. Right now, this is heaven on earth. So get out, enjoy your life, love everybody, protest, but protest in love. And don't go around wounded your whole life. Go around knowing, you know what? I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to be seated in a place of power. Our city, pay attention to this. Everybody listen. There's a guy in the Bible. His name is Joseph. He was discriminated on because of his coat of all things, color. His brothers saw it and they were envious of him. They were jealous of him. The Bible says they hated him. Hate's a big word. They hated him because the father appeared to love Joseph more than the rest. So they conspired to kill him. So they take him, you know it, and they rip his coat of colors off, but it's still on the inside, but the visible color that he was judged on, and now they throw him into an empty pit. He falls in the pit. Nothing's to break his fall. He's there. Who knows, bruised, battered, hurting, wondering why is this happening to me? These are my legitimate brothers. What is going on? And the Bible tells you in this passage that we can go to, it says that they actually went to lunch. This is in Genesis 37. It says that they went to lunch, and when they're at lunch, they discuss, hey, we kind of made a mistake. We actually should pull him out and sell him as a slave. And if you know anything about slavery, the picture in which some people have seen people of in slavery is that they were out to rape or out to murder, out to harm. And so now he's being accused of rape by the slave owner's wife when she was the one that initiated the situation. She was falsely accused. He was being treated badly. Now he's thrown into prison. And in prison, God starts using him in prison. Notice when you're blessed, just like David, no matter what they do to you, no matter how they throw you down, you will always pop up on top if you do what's right because it's right and you do it right. That's why the Bible said, don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. He said, we see through a glass darkly. So then, a really cool passage goes. In Genesis 50, after they talk about all the hate and they talk about all the discrimination and all the pain, in Genesis 50, let's go there, verse 20. He says, but as for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for my good, in order to bring it about as it is, that in this day it'll save many lives. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them. And I love this last part. Spoke kindly to them. You got to realize now, he's seated at his seat of power. His brothers have went through COVID-19. Bad time, 7 years of famine. They come to the government for help. Now Joseph is the lead dog in the government. God has still favored him. Everything he promised him about the banner year, about Jubilee, actually happened, even though it didn't look like it was going to happen. And now he's seated at the place of power, and he looks out in the crowd, the line coming up before him to get their provision, and he looks out and he sees his brothers, and they looked exactly the way they looked when he left them. They were standing in line, but they didn't recognize him. It wasn't just because of his Fendi shoes and his Gucci belt and his Rolex watch. It wasn't any of that. They just didn't recognize him because he changed. In life, those negotiations that happened with my family early on, hopefully they would have grown out of that. Hopefully you can grow out of that and you learn to communicate, or this marriage won't work, or the next 20 won't work, or this relationship or job won't work and the next 20 won't work. Until we have something done in our heart, nothing changes on the outside, because everything on the outside starts on the inside. That's why the Holy Spirit is dealing with our heart and saying, there's a nail in your head and there's a nail in your heart, and we must love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our body, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And I know that sounds like, go ahead, give God praise today. Come on, Earth City, come on, Ferguson. I know that sounds like, oh, that's the right thing for a preacher to say, but of course it is, but it's not just about a preacher thing, it's about the right thing. Amen. And Joseph looks out, and let's read it again. He said, he spoke kindly to them and said, I'm going to take care of you. That's the opposite of what I bet they expected, because they looked at him and couldn't recognize them. He looked at them and said, you look exactly the way you did 20 years ago. It's you guys. So he asked a couple questions if you read it. He said, how's my dad? Is my dad alive? He's asking, because he's been, because of the discrimination, because of the hate, he's been pulled out of the very things that he loved. But the call of God on his life to sit in a seat of power, and for you that might be policy, for you that might be politics, for you that might be movies, for you that might be music. I don't know what it is God called you to do. I only know what he called me to do. And he put this thing in me to build a multicultural church to let black people know you're not less than, you're more than. And white people know, and Asian people know, and everybody know. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise that God is an equal opportunity employer, because he is our God, he is your God, and he created you with a purpose and on purpose to go do exploits. But if you allow the devil to keep you at home because you're afraid of the boogeyman, you're afraid of COVID, it's not a time to be afraid. It's a time to push on and let the church be the church. Come on, give God praise to that. You can be seated. But now, here's what most of us would have done. We'd have looked at them and said, well, what do we have here? Has anybody ever heard of karma? Turnabout is fair play. Whatever you sow, you reap. It's about to be on like Donkey Kong. Let's talk about the day that you guys ripped my coat, the only thing that I had that I loved, and judged me because of that. Let's talk about when you guys threw me into the pit. Let's talk about when you had me sold into slavery, day and night when I was in a dungeon and I worked myself like a dog and was treated. Let's talk about this. But love keeps no record of a suffered wrong. I've got about 8 people here. I wish somebody would say, man, do a little clapping. Help me out just a little. It's in my speech. This is what the Bible said. So, he turned the other cheek. Now, I'm not asking black people, hear me yelling. Turn the other cheek. Sit down. Shut up. No. I'm saying do what you do, but do it in love, because love wins. But also don't live in fear, because God said, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you, racism, will prosper. Bad cops, shooting, whatever. Not all people are bad. Some black people are bad. Some white people are bad. Some cops are bad. Some doctors are bad. Some preachers are bad. There's bad in everyone, but we shouldn't throw everybody in the box, and you shouldn't live in fear thinking, I'm so afraid. Here's what I don't want you to do. Please don't do this. Live with a spirit of fear in you. What's going to happen? Because I know what it feels like to have your black sons pulled over or whatever. I went through all that stuff, training, teaching. But I don't want you to live that way. It's no way to live. Don't walk around thinking that you're going to die today. Think, I'm going to live today. Get the word of God so strong in your heart that you say, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. What can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Romans 8, things present, things to come. Height, depth, principalities, no thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, because the Lord loves me. So then we walk in his love and we delight in his love and know that, hey, it's not going to happen to me because I'm the one the Lord loves, black or white. Now, as I'm kind of putting a bow on all this here, let's talk about a couple other things. One of my friends, Mike Todd, was talking to him recently, and he grew up in the church. His pastor was my best man at my wedding. Mike, by the way, is a black guy. His pastor, Carlton Demetrius Pearson, was a black guy. And but very diverse in his upbringing. So recently he went to preach at Lakewood, and when he was going to Lakewood, he got on that plane in Dallas, and then in Tulsa, and then they went to Dallas, and when they went to do the layover, he was running late, but the door was still open and he could make the flight. So Mike is running up to the door, and the door was open, and the white woman who was standing at the door saw him, clearly saw him, made eye contact with him, and went, shut the door. And he's like, what? We were here. She goes, you missed the flight. Now, how many of y'all know right then, as a pastor getting ready to go to Lakewood, you're like, you know, okay, I couldn't bring any weapons because of the scanners and all that kind of stuff. But you, in the flesh, your flesh wants to react. Will you give him that? But he said on the inside, he said, you know, I'm going to calm down. And he went and sat down for a minute. He started saying, you know, I need to walk in love in this situation. God, I don't know what you're trying to teach me. But I'm going to calm down. I'm going to go back and talk to that lady. Now the lady's at the desk. She's doing her thing. You can see her there right behind the counter. He goes up and says, excuse me, ma'am, I'd like to talk about the next flight. She said, I'm not talking to anybody right now. Go sit down, and I'll let you know when you can come up. How about y'all? Now you're going even escalating. We apparently have a lot of holy people here. Our city, please play along with this right now. We got a lot of people up in this church acting like, I like to check your DMs to see how holy you are. Let me slide in there for a minute. So now, he sits down. He's like, God, I don't know what you're doing. And then he said there was a woman who was a supervisor who had been sitting over at this desk, and she had been witnessing everything that woman had been doing. And this woman had the power to do things that this woman couldn't do, and she was above this person. So she watched everything that happened, and she started going over messing with stuff while he was sitting there. There was somebody behind the scenes doing something for his behalf. She walks over and gives him 3 first-class tickets. Come on, somebody. On a parent airline to get him there before he would have gotten there on the... Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. And Mike was like, look at what God can do for me when I don't try to do it for myself. In other words, injustice, racism, all that stuff, God can take care of in a minute. Now, Mike is human, so he said he took those tickets and went by that woman's like, see ya. We want to be ya. I think God understands that. But I am here to tell you today that God sees the bias, lowest level, sees the discrimination, and sees the racism. What I don't want you to do as a church, the people that don't go to our church, I'm not really responsible for. But if you call me your pastor, I will fight for you for the rest of my life. I will do what I can do, black, white, red, whatever, to let you know we're going to win. And I believe for the first time in human history, we're closer to winning than ever, because it's protesting in all 50 states and 15 different nations. And yes, there are some bad things that are happening. But overall, God said in 2020, I'm about to do something big for black people. Come on, you heard it right there in December. This is exactly what he's doing. And he's going to let all those people that are held back in a prison be set free. And your kids will not have to live in a land where they feel less than, but they will feel more than, because this is the year of Jubilee. Somebody ought to shout amen. And we're going to do what's right because it's right. And we're going to be the church that resembles heaven. Come on, give God some crazy praise for this. God, we thank you for your goodness. We love you today. We magnify you today. God, feels good.
Thank you so much for listening today, and I want to encourage you to share this podcast, and here's the reasons why. You know, a lot of times we see our friends and they don't tell us what's really going on. You go, hey, Bob, are you all right? And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. But deep down in their soul, something's going on, and I believe today there were certain things that was said that perhaps would help your friends. So now that you've subscribed, why don't you just text them? Let them know about this resource that's available. Of course, you can check out more sermons at faithchurch.com. And I love praying for you, trying to encourage you in the best way that I can. And I think the best thing we can do is to encourage one another by sharing these podcasts.